people forever and made an amazing impact, not only in their lives, but the people that were around them and the future generations that were to come. So just, I'm going to read through this chapter, and just keep in mind, I'll say a few comments as we go. We're in John chapter 11. Now there was a certain man who was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. So the sister sent word to him, saying, "Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick." When Jesus heard this, he said, This sickness is not to end in death, but for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified. Very important verse. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he then stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. I don't know about you, but if I found out somebody was sick unto death, I'd be running to them. Then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." Then if we go down to verse 11, then he said, and after that he said to them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go so that I may awaken him out of his sleep." The disciples then said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, will he recover?" "He will recover." Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought he was speaking of literal sleep. So Jesus then said to them plainly, "Lazarus is dead." Sometimes you've got to make it plain. You know, he had to make it plain to them. He's dead, guys. He's dead. And then he says this, which is interesting. "And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, so that you may believe, Let us go to him." In verse 17, "So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb for 4 days. So it sounds like when they went and got up with Jesus, Lazarus probably died on their way. Now Bethany was not far, Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off. And many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. Martha, therefore, when she heard that Jesus was coming, went to meet him, but Mary stayed at the house." I'm going to talk about that in a minute. I don't think Mary was real happy with Jesus at this point. "Martha then said to Jesus," so she left where she was and she went to Jesus as Jesus was approaching Bethany, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. For even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God would give to you." So Martha's got some faith here already. She knows that Jesus can do whatever Jesus wants to do. Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am," very important scripture here, "I am the resurrection and the life. Who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" And Martha said to him, "Yes, Lord, I have believed that you are the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world." When she had said this, she went away and called Mary, her sister, saying secretly, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she got up quickly and was coming to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and consoling her, when they saw that Mary got up quickly and went out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Therefore, when Mary came where Jesus was, she saw him and fell at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would have not died. She said the exact same thing that Martha had just said to him. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews came with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in the spirit and was troubled. Now this is an interesting passage here. Deeply moved. In the Greek, how they translate it is really not coming out with the intensity of how Jesus felt. It says Jesus was almost angry, indignant, that he saw his people he loved suffering. There was a real oomph there, a strong feeling, even greater than what it's conveying here in the passage. And said, where have you laid him? And they said to him, Lord, come and see. And Jesus wept. Now, this is the shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. You say, I can't quote any verses. We can quote this verse. Jesus wept. So the Jews were saying, see how he loved him. You know, Jesus had emotions, y'all. He loved people. He was weeping. But some of them said, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man also from dying? So Jesus, again, being deeply moved within, came to the tomb. Now it was a cave and the stone was lying against it. And Jesus said, remove the stone. And then Martha said, the sister of the deceased said to him, Lord, by this time there would be a stench, for he's been dead for 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they removed the stone. Then Jesus raised his eyes and said, he prayed to the Father here. He said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but because of the people standing around, I said to you, so that they may believe that you sent me. And when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice. Now he cried out with a loud voice. It wasn't Lazarus come out. It was Lazarus come out. Probably louder than that. I don't want to hurt your ears. I'll throw out my voice. But anyway, Jesus said, Lazarus come out. And the man who had died came forth, bound hand and foot with wrappings, and his face was wrapped around with a cloth. Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. Therefore, many of the Jews who came to Jesus and saw what he had done believed in him. Thank you, Jesus, for the opportunity to study your word. Thank you, Jesus, that your grace is with us. Lord, help us as we continue on with our service. Lord, let your word go forth. In Jesus' name, amen. What we know about these people was, obviously they were friends of Jesus. Jesus was close with them. He had been in their home. He had eaten with them. Jesus chose to do a miracle for them. He wept. I think it's interesting when you look at each one of these people. You look at Mary. I get the impression that Mary was like the younger sister. You know, back up in Luke chapter 10, before this episode happened, Martha and Jesus was eating at Martha's house. And she came to Jesus. Mary was sitting at his feet, listening to his words. And Martha came to Jesus and said, look, I am busy trying to get this food ready for you guys. And Mary is sitting here doing nothing. Can you tell her to come and help me? Well, Jesus looked at Martha and said, you're so worried about so many things. She has chosen the best. So we see, you almost get the impression from Mary, she was young. There was something really a deep-seated need within her, that she needed something, that she was looking for something in her life, because she would gravitate to Jesus. I would only fear what Mary's life would have been like if she didn't have Jesus to go after. Because it's clear there was something deep in her, an emptiness, a need that she had, that she needed God. She knew she needed more than what she was experiencing in her life. And she was emotional. I remember it says that a couple of chapters after this, that when they were at another mealtime, Jesus was there. Lazarus was there. Martha was there serving. That Mary came in and poured perfume on Jesus' feet and wiped it with her hair. And a lot of people would think that she was irresponsible. She was compulsive. She was emotional. Even Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed the Lord, criticized her for doing it. Because when she poured that on his feet, we're talking about 11 months of wages for a worker. So she poured everything she had on him. So you get the impression that she's just sort of, you know, she's all over the place a little bit. Of course, Jesus blessed her for doing what he did, what she did. Even when Jesus was approaching Bethany, Mary stayed back. I sort of get the impression she was young, maybe a young teenager, and she's, well, Jesus didn't come, and she didn't go out with Martha, and she sat there, so she didn't go until Jesus sent for her. And she's like, okay, fine. Okay, he's coming. He sent for me. I'm going to run to him. It's almost like she was mad at Jesus. I can't believe he didn't do that. And then you see Martha. I get the impression for her that she was the older, mature, steady as a rock sister who would get busy with the preparations, and she served and she was faithful. But Jesus said, Mary's choosing the better. She's coming after me. And Martha was busy. Martha was a good person. Martha was working hard. She loved Jesus. But yet she was missing something there with Jesus there. She was missing it. And even in John chapter 12, the next chapter, Martha is serving again. It says that Jesus was there. Lazarus was there after he rose from the dead. And Martha was there serving. Again, they mentioned Martha was serving. And then Mary was there pouring perfume on Jesus' feet and wiping it with her hair. So we see two different, you almost see a free spirit in somebody who's very much responsible person taking place with Martha. Martha and Mary. But then we see something happen and start to transition in Martha's life. Jesus, as she was coming after Lazarus died, she ran to Jesus. And Jesus took the time to speak with her and to reveal to her, and he said, I am the resurrection and the life. The question always is, why did Jesus delay in coming? Because he wanted his glory to be made known. But what he was doing in this moment, this resurrection of Lazarus, was a precursor to his own resurrection. It was setting the stage, and he began to reveal to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He is on his way in the coming weeks, coming time frame, to go to the cross, to die on the cross for our sins. Because of sin, there is a separation between us and God. And we need a Savior. We all deserve to be punished because we've all sinned and fallen short. We've all made mistakes. Nobody's perfect. But Jesus was preparing the way to let her know, I am the Son of God. I am the resurrection and the life. And Jesus came here to die on the cross and raise from the dead so that we could be saved, so that we could come into a relationship with God, so that the breach between us and God could be taken away and we could come into a relationship with Him. And when Jesus rose from the dead, He made it possible for all of us to be saved, for all of us to come into a relationship with Him. When He rose from the dead, it was proof that everything that He has said was true. He is the resurrection and the life. And He's telling Martha, He's taking the time to tell Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who comes to me, let me read it for you again. I am the resurrection and the life. Who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? What he's trying to say there is on the other side of this life, there is an eternal life for us. When you die, it's not the end, it's just the beginning. There's an eternal life for us. And anyone who dies physically, if you know Jesus, you don't have to die in the spirit, spiritually. But not only is Jesus concerned about our eternal destination, he's concerned about our lives right now, right here on this earth. That he wants to give a destiny to you. He has a destiny for you, and he wants to use you. He wants to touch you. He wants to heal your heart. He wants you to be all that God has called you to be. That's why he paid the price. That's why he went to the cross. That's why he rose from the dead, so that you could be what God has called you to be, so you can enter into eternal life. And your eternal life can start right now, right here, on this side of heaven. But he took the time to talk to Martha. And she says, I know that you are the Son of God. The revelation hit her. I'm the resurrection. You're the Son of God. Martha was beginning to see there's more to this than just serving and working. Mary was sort of all over the place, but yet she knew there was something she was needing inside of her. And she went after it. And then we have Lazarus. We don't know the extent of his friendship with Jesus, but it must have been very close, because when they sent for Jesus, they said, it's the one you love, Lazarus. And then they repeated a couple of verses later that Jesus loved Martha and Mary and he loved Lazarus. So they were close friends. And he died. I wonder sometime, where was he at for 4 days? What did he see and what did he hear for 4 days while his body was in that tomb? And he died. And God rose him up from the grave. He was sick. And Jesus rose him up and gave him a new life. And at this moment, it not only did it impact Mary and Martha, he raised Lazarus from the dead, but there were so many people around them that saw this happen. They could not deny that he was the resurrection and that he was the life. Jesus, not only did he sense the need, he wanted to raise Lazarus from the dead, but he also wanted to be there for Mary and Martha. You know, they don't know for sure their situation, but it doesn't say they were married. And for Lazarus to die, he may have been their support. He may have been the one that was keeping them up. They might have been living with him because they were not married. And in those days, there wasn't a lot of opportunities for women to work beyond the home. And so he could feel almost a trepidation within Martha and Mary that this is going to affect them far greater than just their brother dying. It's going to affect the rest of their life. But Jesus answered their prayer because he said he loved them. You know, Jesus has been doing life changes, changing people's lives for 2,000 years. The story that you just heard of three people whose lives are radically changed. Martha was changed forever. She got her priorities right. Mary found what she was looking for deep inside of her, the empty spot. And then Lazarus was given a new life. He's been doing this. He's been giving. He has been alive and he's been giving new life for 2,000 years. You just heard a story of three people that this happened to. But he's still doing that today. And today we have three people. I want you to hear their stories of what Jesus did for them, how he transformed them, and what he did in their lives.
Maybe Mary's childhood was like mine. I remember at 8 years old, disappointment started to creep into my life. And at that time, I desired my dad's affection and his attention and his time. And I just didn't seem to get that. And so I remember specifically, you know, building things for him or waiting for him to get home or ask my mom to go with him anywhere. But he just always seemed really checked out and working all the time. So there'd be days I wouldn't even see him. And I just remember just being so disappointed, and pretty much the thought came into my mind was just like, you know, you don't belong here and you're going to have to take care of yourself. And so because I began to think that, I just started seeking for affection elsewhere through different people.
Like Martha, I knew who Jesus was, but there was a separation between my spiritual life and my work life. I tended to have my time with the Lord in the mornings and even driving to work. But then once I got to work, I was all dependent on me and self-reliant. And as a result, like Martha, I was missing out on the Lord's presence about 90% of my life. And a lot of times that led to frustration and there was no peace.
I think the lowest point in my life was waking up after a month of being on Xanax and realizing that I did not remember anything from that month. During this time, I was in college, struggling academically, while also worrying about the struggles back home, dealing with family matters that I could no longer attend to. And the anxiety was just overwhelming. But that's where the Xanax came in and brought a temporary escape from all of that. Like Lazarus, I was dead inside. An entire month of my life had went by, and I couldn't tell you a single thing that had happened.
As early as eighth grade, I started to find that affection, find that attention. Basically, I found myself relationship after relationship after relationship being very much so sexual and being the place that I felt this belonging and this attention, this time that I missed out when I was a young girl. And that led me to a really dark, dead place in my heart that I didn't even realize until college. So in college, I remember being a freshman and thinking, you know, do I know who I am? And really the thought came into my mind, no, I don't know who I am. And I found myself again in more relationships, and it was probably my sophomore year that I found myself at ENC, the campus ministry here, one Thursday night, and Friday I showed up at the student conference. And when I was there, I just, for the first time that I remember, I heard God speak to me. And he said three words that I'll never forget. And the first thing was that I love you more than your family. I love you more than your friends. And I love you more than your significant other. And I just remember in that moment, something being shattered in my heart. And really it was this lie that I didn't belong, but also that I was an orphan. And in that moment, his love just poured into me, and I found myself going to the altar. I found myself giving my life to Jesus, and I found myself being baptized that same day.
So as far as my spirituality, I thought my primary role was to work and be a support to the church through my tithes. And beyond that, I really didn't think I had any role more to do more than that. What really opened my eyes was about a year ago. I was at my son's wedding rehearsal dinner, and he had friends stand up one after another, giving him honor for what he had done in their lives, how he had shared the Lord with them or engaged them in friendship and really changed their whole life. And I began to realize I'm missing out on life. I can't think of five people that would stand up and say that about me. And that's what really triggered my thought process and what am I really doing here. So one thing that really inspired me after that time was a sermon I heard about being passionate for God. Eddie asked the congregation, what is it that gets you up in the morning? And that really impacted my thoughts, and I started getting up every day, spending time in God's Word, and earnestly seeking Him, to know Him.
I think I started to come alive when we signed a lease at the Landing apartment complex here in Greenville. There was three roommates and I. We needed a fourth. The fourth person happened to be Ridge Hodges. When I saw the community that he brought around us and how fired up for Jesus they were, and they weren't even doing the things I was doing to achieve that joy. And I think that was the moment for me in which I knew that it was time. God continued to open my eyes when I went away with the Army. I was laying in my rack one night, just reading the Bible, and it was almost as if the scripture was just coming out of the book to me. And that's when I started to feel that joy that I had once seen in so many others around me. I started fellowshipping with people in my barrack, started reading scripture to them, and slowly seeing them become better men through that is when it all started to click that there's a greater purpose to this. My first weekend back coming home from the Army, I found myself doing some of the same things that I used to always do. I found myself in a club again. I looked around the club, and the things that once brought so much pleasure to me, it meant nothing to me anymore. And God said, you have a greater purpose. This isn't for you anymore.
So we all have a story today. We all can relate on that. We all have that in common. We have a beginning, we have a middle, we have an end. And that's kind of what the world teaches, is that we're on this journey, walking in this story. But But there's one thing that we also have in common, that 2,000 years ago, on the cross, Jesus also had every single one of your stories in mind. He had this perfect story of what it would be if you would be in relationship with him. And so today you kind of see a glimpse into my story. You see a glimpse into Kevin's and AP's story. But one of the things that the Lord showed me was, if he wouldn't have went to the cross, in my own effort, I would have never been able to break through the lies that I believed as a child. I would have never been able to break through out of sexual sin and those just destructive behaviors. It was nothing of my own doing, but it was simply what he did on the cross that restored a relationship with Jesus. And so I know the world also teaches that if you come to know Christ, that you have to walk into this religion, and that's also incorrect, because if you read in Isaiah 61, it talks about this prophecy, this foretelling of someone coming. Also, if you look in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it also talks about someone coming in to interrupt your life, to bring relationship, to bring healing, freedom, and breakthrough. And just like he rewrote my story, he wants to rewrite yours today.
So when I came to the realize that I was missing something in life, namely my relationships, I realized that it stemmed from a lack of intimacy with God. And so I really started digging into the scriptures, studying his word, and seeking truth. He said in his word, you know, Jesus said, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So I believe that with all my heart. I knew God's not a liar. He's not somebody to set you up for failure. But I felt like I was wandering through the desert, coming from a long winter in a barren place. And like I said, Tim and Tori's wedding rehearsal dinner really sparked it off in me. I was like, man, I need to change. And it's not only hurting me, it's hurting my family. And I really didn't have anybody I could call a true friend, somebody that knows me well. And Jesus said he wants to be that friend to stick closer than a brother. And I knew that. And so I diligently sought after him. And Blake asked me one day after church, he said, brother, how you doing? And I was like, Blake, I said, I need change. I need something. He said, why don't you start coming to me at Panera Bread? We meet real early in the morning before everybody goes to work. And I said, okay, what time do you meet? He said, 6:30. I said, well, I go to work at 6. I'm at work at 6 o'clock. So I talked to my supervisor, and I told him what I was doing, and he allowed me to go. And I started working a little bit extra on Sunday, so it allowed time. But anyway, I started going to care group. I saw the faith in the brothers there. And it even sparked a greater desire in my heart. And so I started seeking the Lord and was encouraged by them, have little tangible goals to reach, to pray 10 minutes a day, read your Bible, you know, the basics. But if you don't do it, you won't grow. And then he also told me, won't you come to, if you hadn't been to Next Step, won't you come? And then Leader Step, and then Freedom Step. And that's really when I learned about the transformative power of the blood of Jesus. I went into Leader Step thinking, I'm all right, I'm okay. And little did I know that I was a train wreck. You know. So the Holy Spirit started pointing these things out, and I would just repent of it. Apply the blood of Jesus over my heart, and I just did it on my own time, and the Holy Spirit is able, and the blood of Jesus is able to transform you. And so I'm a transformed human being right here before you, and it's the love of God. It says, without faith, you cannot please him. So for a long time, I felt like my shield of faith was down here, and the fiery darts of the enemy were just hitting me. And my shield was down here. But God, he said, put on the full armor of God, full armor of faith, and hold up that shield, and it'll quench every fiery dart of the enemy.
as you guys heard, myself, I was a lot like Lazarus. I was very much so dead inside. I was walking day to day, but I was not walking by faith, nor was I walking by sight. I didn't have a purpose, you would say. I was trying to accomplish things, make it day to day, and fill permanent voids in my heart with temporary escapes. And that's the thing about Jesus' love that I've come to understand in this relationship with Christ, is that he's not temporary. He is 24/7, 365, and on leap year 366. So, but he's there every single day. And since receiving that tap on the shoulder from him that night in the club, I've experienced more in just the 6 months since then than I've experienced in the past 24 years of my life. I've began consistently coming to church here every Sunday. I took Next Step with Blake, and that really was the catalyst to catapult me moving forward. On Monday nights, you know, we do Elevate with the high school, and after giving them my testimony a couple weeks ago, that was probably the most joyous moment I've ever had in my life beyond any graduation, any accomplishment. You know, to hear people come up and say, man, like, what you said, I'm going through that. You know, my mother is struggling with those things. My family is struggling with those things. I was struggling with those addictions. And to know that you made it out okay gives me hope. And that right there is probably the most impactful moment of my life. And, you know, it's crazy because I used to hear about testimonies like these, and because I was strayed so far away from Jesus, I would think that they almost weren't real, or that it couldn't happen to me because I was so far away. But I can assure you, no matter how broken you are, no matter how poor you are, no matter how rich you are, despite your political view, no matter what it is, he does not care. He wants a relationship with you. He wants to grab a hold of your heart and change your life like he changed mine. I've experienced so much breakthrough just in 6 short months, and it's ridiculous how much he's impacted my life in that amount of time. And I would almost say it's overwhelming me, because I'm like, man, like, what are you going to do next? Like, give me a break to take in what you just did for me. Like, you know, and it's crazy because we all have that one thing in our life that is probably one of the biggest stressors you put in the back of your mind to get rid of it, so that way you can kind of get through your day. And for me, that was my debt, my college debt through my college loans. And we had left a prophetic gathering at another church. It was Zach, Devon, Ben, and I. And we're riding back, and we're talking, and you know, the guy kind of preached on, you know, your blessings being cursed, and like, and you're tithing and all this. And we're like, man, like, we tithe and tithe and tithe, but we ain't receiving no blessings. Like, we ain't receiving nothing. And literally, 3 days later, I get an email from Credit Karma, and it's like, congratulations on paying off your student loans. And I'm like, I haven't paid off my student loans. This is crazy. You know, I've been paying on them, but they're not paid off. I know that. So I go check my account. I look, and closed, 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 closed. So I called the credit union. I called the lady just to make sure, and I'm like, you know, I didn't want to let her know that I didn't pay them because I didn't want nothing to happen. So I'm like, you looking at my account, right? You see my loans are closed, right? And she's like, yeah, yeah, they're closed. Like, good job. Like, awesome. Like, you did that fast. I'm like, who closed them? Like, making sure, like, what's it? And she's like, well, it's anonymous, but they're closed. You're good. Congratulations. And I was like, So I get off the phone with her. I call my chain of command just to make sure. You know, I'm like, hey, look, has my GI Bill kicked in? Has anything? They're like, nah, man, you ain't received that for a while. Like, and, you know, so I come to figure out it was just a miracle. And that's what God is. He's just a miracle. And that is just something so minimal. I've experienced spiritual breakthrough not only in my heart but in my job. I've experienced things like patience, love, and just really, I guess, committing myself to people in a way that I wouldn't have before due to maybe like trust or things like that that have impacted my life. But a lot like Kevin, I've experienced it in my workplace as well, to a point where my business, you know, I began praying every morning over, you know, my entire store and for my employees. And I actually prayed for somebody for the first time, you know, in my store months ago. And it was crazy because I didn't even know how to, but I was just like, hey, look, this is my opportunity. I felt that tap on the shoulder that I used to ignore so much. And, you know, I just said, hey, use me, just speak through me. And I prayed for the guy. And, you know, in those 6 months, my business is beating sales goals by 3 to 4 times every week. And my district manager's asking, you know, he's like, what are you doing? And when I told him, I was like, man, this place is just led by God. It has a purpose now. And, you know, and he was like, no, really, like, what are you doing? And I said, I said, that's it. I'm not doing anything different. I said, I just pray for this place, and I pray that I can touch the hearts of the people that come in here. And, you know, he's impacting my life today. And although those are all great things, you know, as Jesus said in John 1, you know, he said, you believe me because I said I saw you under the fig tree? He said, you've seen nothing yet. And that's Jesus. Okay, just when you think you've seen it all, I promise you, you've seen nothing. So if you have the chance, I highly suggest you come running to him to have a relationship with him.
You just heard about 3 lives that have been changed. The band, come on up. We're going to sing a song as we go this morning. I want to take a moment and I want to pray with you. Maybe you fit into the Martha. Maybe you've been a good person. Maybe you set a commitment to Jesus one time in your life. Maybe you prayed when you were young. You went to a church and you said a prayer and you lived a good moral life. Jesus has so much more for you than that. As Kevin shared, he wants to transform your life and give you a fresh start and have an intimacy with Jesus. Maybe you're a Martha. Maybe there's an empty space within you and you're looking for love in all the wrong places, and you're looking for love in too many faces, as they say. But if you'll go to Jesus right now, he can start afresh for you. You know, there's an emptiness in the side of us that can only be filled by God. There's no amount of money, there's no amount of relationship that can fill up the emptiness that is inside of us. There's no amount of pleasure. It's always going to be fleeting. But Mary knew where she needed to go. She needed to go to Jesus because there was something inside of her that needed to be filled up. And if that's you today, Jesus wants to fill you up. And he wants to give you a purpose. Maybe you're Lazarus. Maybe you feel like you're dead. Maybe you feel like your life matters nothing. Your life matters for nothing right now. You feel dead on the inside. You feel numb. There's a lot of pain in your life. There's hurt in your life. Jesus wants to come and save you this morning. He wants to heal your hurt. He wants to give you your purpose and a reason for living. So if you fit into any of those categories, I'm just going to pray with you. Nobody's going to be looking around. If you could raise your hand so that I can pray for you. If you raise your hand. Anybody else? Thank you. All over the place. I see hands raised all over the place. Pray this prayer with me in your heart as I pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I come to you. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my life. I ask you to be my Lord and Savior. I ask you, Jesus, to take control of my life. I ask you to be with me. I make you my Lord, and I make you my Savior. Lord, I pray for those who prayed that prayer, Lord, that you would heal their heart, that they would come into a close relationship with you like never before, that this would be a fresh start for them, a new day for them, a new beginning for them that would last the rest of their life. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done in their hearts this morning. And I ask you to continue to do a work and to use them for your kingdom. In Jesus' name. We all stand this morning. We're going to sing this last song. But if you prayed that prayer, we have some people going to come down front and pray with you. If you're one of those who are praying. While we're singing this song, if you prayed that prayer, or if there's anything else that you're going through that you need prayer about, I want you to come down front and we're going to pray with you before you leave. And then I'll come back up and dismiss us in just a moment. Go ahead.